آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to all our wonderful ummah of the beloved of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allahu Akbar. We discussed some aspects about the just king of Africa. Imagine our beloved صلى الله عليه وسلم refers to him as just. To continue with that discussion from where we left off last week, after the Meccan envoys failed in taking the Sahaba and convincing Najashi in sending the Sahaba radiallahu anhum back to Mecca, they tried another strategy, a dirty trick, to convince Najashi that the Sahaba say that Isa alayhi salam is a slave. So anyway, he called the Sahaba back. What do you all say about Isa alayhi salam? They say, we say what our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. And what does your Nabi say? So he said, Hazrat Ja'far was again the spokesperson, the mutakallim. He said he is the servant of Allah and his messenger. And his word that he presented to Hazrat Maryam, the Virgin Mary, and through that command of Allah was he born. So basically he is Abdullah wa Rasuluh wa Kalimatuh alqaha ila Maryam al-Adhra al-Batul. So Najashi then responded and said, Hazrat Isa is exactly what you all have uttered. Exactly. Then the bishops then reacted negatively, opposing Najashi. He says, no matter what you all can say, what they are saying is correct. Then he said to Hazrat Ja'far, go, you all are safe in my lands. Whoever harms you all will pay for it. Whoever harms you all will be charged for it. And if I was offered even a mountain of gold to harm any of you, I would refuse that mountain because I do not want people like you to be harmed in my land. He then said to his men that return the gifts of Najashi, of the Meccan emissaries to them. Allah did not take a bribe from me when he returned my kingdom to me. Because what happened here was, Najashi's father was assassinated because he was the only son to his father. And Najashi, Ashama bin Abjar, was banished into the lands of Africa. And he then resided near Arabia as a shepherd. Allah saved and spared his life. Whilst his uncle was ruling, he then passed away. And his uncle's sons, being many but were very foolish and were not capable of ruling the lands, they then hunted and looked for Najashi, begging his pardon, and brought him back onto the throne of Abyssinia. But then some of the bishops mentioned to the local people and some of the riffraffs and some of the gangsters that, you know, Najashi is denouncing our faith. He then was worried about the Muslims living under his protection. He arranged some ships to send the Sahaba safely back to Makkah Mukarrama. And then, subhanallah, he used a strategy to protect his faith. He wrote, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَخَاتَمُ رُسُولِهِ. And he wrote that on a leather skin, and he kept that by him. In that was also belief in Isa alayhi salam. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ إِسَىٰ عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَرُوحُهُ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلَّتِي أَلْقَاهَا إِلَىٰ مَرْيَمُ. He tied the leather skin to his chest inside his garment, and he had his cloaks above all of that. And then to those rebels who were rebelling against him, he comes before them and he addresses them. He asks them, how do I treat you all? How do I rule you all? What has stirred you against me? They said, you have denounced our faith and you claim that Jesus is but a slave. So he asked them, what do you all say about Isa alayhi salam, about Jesus? They said, we say and proclaim that he is the Son of God. He then put his hand exactly on that leather skin which was tied inside his garment by his chest, and he said, I testify that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is exactly that, and he is holding his hand upon that leather. They thought he agrees with them. He analyzed the situation that they will remove him from his position if he denounces their incorrect beliefs. He rather protect his position and protect the Muslims, and then work on his deen, work on his iman, utilizing the position Allah had given him. So this was the strategy an-Najashi rahimahullah used. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about Najashi and the situation he had faced with the community of Abyssinia and how he treated the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very pleased with the treatment of Najashi and the way he protected the believers and his love for the faith and for Iman. Even when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam years later sent letters, subhanallah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Najashi by Amr bin Umayyah al-Damri radiallahu anhu, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter was teaching him deen, and he had embraced Islam already, and he, alhamdulillah, renewed his faith and renewed his Iman. Whatever was going on in Medina Munawwara, Najashi was following up. Even when Badr took place, he called Hazrat Ja'far and the Sahaba, and he then narrated to them what had happened. And that day he was dressed with simple white cloth, and he was sitting on the floor. And they asked him, "Why don't you sit on your throne?" He said, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said, "When Allah blesses you with a favor, humble yourself more for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And what favor can be greater than the fact that Allah has blessed our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with victory in Badr? So I am making shukr for that. Among the worrying incidents that happened during the Sahaba's stay there, one individual started joining the Christians, and in their company they would drink alcohol and so forth. And due to alcohol, which is Ummul Khaba'ith, the mother of all sins, Allah save us all, he then denounced his faith and he tried to force his wife to do so. She was none other than Hazrat Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha. And subhanallah, she refused. He then gave her an ultimatum. He tried to blackmail her that if you do not denounce Islam and accept Christianity, I will divorce you. She said, "I'll never forsake my deen." He said, "Even if I divorce you?" She said, "You may, but my deen comes first." Subhanallah. We learn the importance of Iman, and subhanallah, how Allah takes care. And we learn about the harms of bad company. Subhanallah. Read in Surah Al-Kahf the importance of good company. Subhanallah. How the dog, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ, kept the company of the righteous Ashab al-Kahf, the seven sleepers, and how Allah blessed that dog, that this dog is mentioned in the Quran with great honor and respect. That ulama mentioned that this dog will be in Jannah due to company. The dog slept for 309 years with Ashab al-Kahf. This is the beauty and the importance of company. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, good company is like a perfume merchant who will give you perfume, or you can purchase from, or you'll get for free, or just sitting in that company, you will find an amazing fragrance. And bad company is like sitting in the cave of a blacksmith, his store, where you might get burn your body or your clothes, or just the foul stench that emanates from that environment. And what does this mean? Purchasing perfume, pious people will give us advice for free, or encourage us regarding avenues where we can spend our wealth in a manner that will benefit us in the Akhirah, or just sitting in their company is not void of benefit at all. It's full of great benefits. And burning one's body and clothes is bad company, could affect one's aqidah, that's indicated by the body, or one's clothes, one's character and good deeds, or just the foul stench of being in that company does have a lot of negativities to it. Allah, help us to be such that we can change the environment that we are in towards betterment and improvement, and not become affected by bad environments that we sometimes end up in. Subhanallah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter arrived, just then Amr bin Ash was again there. And he tried to convince Najashi to hand over Amr bin Umayyah al-Damri radiallahu anhu to him, so he could assassinate the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, Najashi got very upset. "How could you ask me to hand over to you the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the emissary of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" So Amr bin As asked Najashi, but who says he's the Nabi of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Najashi says to Amr, I'm telling you, this is the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through Najashi's da'wat, Amr bin As was so affected. He then says, if you are saying, then I believe it. So Najashi used his position in spreading the deen of Allah, in protecting the rights of the believers. What a pertinent lesson. Allah give us tawfiq to establish deen and spread deen, preserve deen, protect deen wherever we go. Let's not let the devils, you know, misguide us and trick us in stopping good works that take place. But let us become mafatih lil khair, keys to good everywhere in the world and locks to evil. And let's not be keys to evil and locks to good. SubhanAllah, interestingly, in Friendshoek is this museum in Cape Town. We were traveling somewhere and I gave this man, a book in Afrikaans, a beautiful book, Hidden Treasures, translated in Afrikaans. And SubhanAllah, this man and his family said to me that we saw the book, the first book written in Afrikaans, utilizing Arabic letters, Arabic alphabets, and this book is preserved in this museum in Cape Town. So I said to him, yes, that is the first book ever written in Afrikaans, was written by a Sheikh Abu Bakr Effendi rahimahullah, who wrote this book teaching Muslims the basics of deen, the fiqh of deen, to protect the iman and the deen of the Muslims, and also to spread the deen of Allah. This was a scholar in the 1800s who was sent by the Ottoman Empire to teach Allah's deen to the South African community. And subhanAllah, imagine his khidmat. He then returned to Istanbul, which was the center of the Khilafah, where As-Sultan al-Khalifa Abdul Hamid rahimahullah became the Khalifa in 1786. He went to meet him and al-Khalifa took his report back and then published and printed his book and sent many copies back to South Africa. So that book was written in Afrikaans. We should see that book in this museum in Cape Town. And subhanAllah, we should share the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Deen has a great history in our country. Never forget Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in Buakap, subhanAllah. And Al-Qadi Abdullah ibn Abdus Salam, rahimahullah, how he would render the adhan, subhanAllah, from that masjid that was established in 1793 approximately. And subhanAllah, through the funding of mashallah, one of the women of this ummah. So subhanAllah, the men and the women of this ummah have great potential in establishing deen, establishing masajid, establishing madaris, establishing makatib. Alhamdulillah, even the first university of Islam was established in the early stages in Africa, in Qairuwan, by one of the daughters, the offspring of Uqbat ibn Nafi' rahimahullah, the great tabi'i. And some actually say he's a Sahabi, but commonly known as one of the senior tabi'een who took Islam into Africa and strove for Allah's work and strove for Allah's sake and for Allah's deen. So alhamdulillah, people have potential. People want to know the truth. People are looking for the truth. But you and I, as Muslims, have to treat them well, have to greet them nicely, have to present the deen to them. And let's remember, subhanAllah, how our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged and appreciated An-Najashi rahimahullah's efforts, that even when he left this world in Rajab, 9th year Hijri, subhanAllah, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum, and they together performed the janaza salah for An-Najashi. This was the only janaza salah al-ghaib performed in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where this great, pious, righteous, just king was thousands of miles away. But our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam miraculously from Madinah Munawwara performed his janaza salah. Amazing, extraordinary. And he is that tabi'i whom some sahaba embraced Islam at his hands. For example, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu embraced Islam at the hands of An-Najashi. He then goes to Medina Munawwara and reads the kalima and takes the bay'ah at the hands of none other than Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was this sahabi who took Islam into countries of the world, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, who first uttered the kalima at the hands of Najashi. The same Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, when he was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Oman, and in 15 days he converted the entire country. Amazing is the dialogue he had with the two princes of Oman, Jafar and Abd, how he conversed with them, how he invited them to Islam. And he then also told them his karguzari, because they were amazed at the fact that why did he embrace Islam when his father was so dead against Islam. And they asked him, did your father also accept this? He said, sadly, he didn't. But this is the truth. And how do you know? And what motivated you to become Muslim? And Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu explained to the two princes and their father, Julandi of Oman, at how by Najashi was he inspired to become Muslim. They said, by Najashi? Najashi could never be Muslim. He is an ally of the Roman Emperor. So the Sahabi says, no, he's not. He is a firm believer in Islam. So they asked him, what did the Roman Emperor do? So Hazrat Amr ibn al-As said, he didn't do anything. He didn't get upset. He actually realized that Najashi is making the right decision. And he actually said that he is a man, because when he realized that Najashi is no longer paying dues to Rome, he then reacted and said, he's a man who has chosen for himself and that's his right to do what he likes. But they found it hard to believe Hazrat Amr ibn al-As. And they said to him that a free man, a good human being can never lie. He says, I can never lie to you. He says, I know, I can never lie to you. Another ajeeb incident happened one of the flights just recently. Subhanallah, my little one was walking in between the chairs and the seats, and people was just greeting. And I noticed the people from Europe and so forth were reading their books, but there was one brother who was reading the Bible. So I got chatting with him. And interestingly, he was an African brother. So I asked him, how are you, brother? What's your name? Where are you from? He said, I'm from Malawi. So that was quite interesting for me, that all the Europeans, they were reading other books, but a Malawian individual was reading the Bible. So I found that very intriguing, and we had a nice chat. And I asked him to check up a few verses, and I explained to him how those verses refer to none other than our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was quite amazed, and alhamdulillah, with the fadl and the karam of Allah, we left him deliberating and pondering, and quite a few others in the flight who were listening to the conversation will inshallah someday also embrace Islam. But intriguingly, a Malawian brother who comes from a country where years ago there was 90% Muslim, today many have left Islam. Why? Because the Christians have exerted and have made great efforts in spreading their falsehood. And you and I have the truth, but we've hoarded it for ourselves to such an extent that a man from Malawi is sitting on the flight and he is reading Bible. Allah give us tawfiq to spread the truth. I entered one of the bookshops in one of the airports just a few days ago, and I met an Australian, so we got chatting. So I asked him, have you studied the Bible? He says, no, I don't believe in any of that. So I said, what do you read? Have you read the Quran? He says, no, I haven't, but I know the Quran is the truth. And what a lovely discussion we had. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. So there are people out there who are looking for the truth, but you and I have to aspire, to inspire before we expire. Time is running out. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ